Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 9:22. Jordan Reed of the Draft Network coming up in just a second. I'm James Rapine. Again, this idea, and CD says, trying to get an offensive tackle at free agency is how you end up with Greg Robinson and Chris Hubbard. Well, Chris Hubbard was a freaking guard in Pittsburgh until he was an injury fill-in, and then John Dorsey overpaid for him. I mean, that's how you do that. You overpay a guard to play tackle. Sure. Again, I'm open to a tackle with the 10th pick, but I want to be open-minded to other positions. That's it. That's all I'm saying. And I don't think that should be debated, and yet anytime I bring it up among Browns fans this offseason, it's, man, are you sure? I think they have to go tackle, and I'm not ready to limit myself to just one position. I think that's how you reach. I think that's how you get yourself in trouble, especially with the top 10 pick. All right, let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome in Jordan Reed. He's a senior NFL draft analyst for the Draft Network. You can follow Jordan and check out his work on Twitter at JReedNFL, and he's on with us now. Jordan, if I can get this mouse to work, there we go. Jordan, I appreciate the time, man. How are you?
No problem. Thanks for having me on, James.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, especially on a Sunday morning. Let's start here with tackle, because I think a lot of people in Cleveland, I get why. It's a big need, and I also look at where they're at in the draft, and there could be some really good tackles there, but they're looking at this as tackle or bust with the 10th pick. And Jordan, I can't do that when maybe an Isaiah Simmons falls, maybe a defensive tackle falls, maybe there's another elite player there at 10, especially with the potential run of quarterbacks. I want to be open-minded at least to other positions. Am I crazy that the Browns should be open-minded outside of tackle?
Not at all. And that's something that a lot of NFL fans really get fixated on. And it's not just the Browns. It's going on a lot of fan bases around the league. You can't get so fixated on what your weaknesses are that you're completely misguided to taking the best player available. So let's say a guy like Isaiah Simmons falls, knowing that the Browns need a safety linebacker hybrid, I definitely think it would be a welcomed addition. And with this being such a deep offensive tackle class, I still think they can get their guy in the second round. And that's not to say they're not going to get one of the top four guys with the 10th overall selection, but let's say a guy like Isaiah Simmons does fall to that 10th selection. He is sitting there with that pick. You elect to take him, you can still get guys in the second round as well. And a lot of fans don't understand that the draft is much longer than one round. So that's something that's going on a lot right now.
Jordan, you mentioned Simmons. Is there a chance he falls? I would assume there's a shot at least he falls, even though he's, I think, a top talent. What does he do well, and what stands out about him? You mentioned he's kind of a hybrid between a safety and a linebacker.
Well, there's always a chance of anyone falling in a draft just because we've seen crazy things happen, even going back to the Laramie Tunsil days a few years ago with his whole ordeal and what happened with that. And that's not to say that's going to happen to any guy in this draft, but that's just giving an example of you never know when these top five projected guys are going to fall in the draft. And I think with Isaiah Simmons, a guy that kind of he's a positionless prospect, and that might scare some teams away just because what happens with guys is that you really don't know where to project them. Talking about position-wise, some teams are going to have them graded as a linebacker, while others are going to have them graded as a safety. And you see a guy like Derwin James that landed in a correct position or a correct landing spot with the Chargers that understands how to utilize his skill set. But if landing spot is so crucial to Isaiah Simmons just because we've seen hybrids in the past like Obi Melifonwu, Mark Barron, and even Taylor Mays going back to his older days of guys, if they don't find the correct defensive coordinator, they can flame out of the league or they can bounce around the league searching for these roles that just not are quite distinct for them. So We don't want that to happen to Isaiah Simmons, but that could scare some teams away just because they don't really know where to play him.
Jordan Reed is joining us of the Draft Network. Jordan, let's dive back into tackle here, because I do think if you're the Browns and you can get a top tackle 10th overall, that's something they should seriously consider, given where they're at, what their weaknesses are. And certainly offensive line play has been one of them. Who's your top tackle in this class in some other guys? Because I've heard that this is about as deep as of a tackle class as we've had in recent years.
Yeah, so it's pretty deep through the first 2 days. I think there's a bit of a precipitous drop-off on the third day of the draft. So that's why I say the Browns shouldn't be hesitant with getting their guy if they want to take him at 10. But there's some guys that are viable or serviceable in the second round or even the third round as well. So the top four guys, I'm sure you've heard about. Jedrick Wills, who's my top offensive tackle from Alabama, a guy that just has tremendous strength at the point of attack, really made a huge step up in his development during his junior year. And he's so smooth at pass protection as well. So he's my top guy right now. After that is Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle from Iowa, who's going to be, a freak show at the combine next week, a very, very athletic tackle, which is something to keep in mind with the Browns right now, just because Kevin Stefanski, a guy that's known for running these zone and wide zone concepts, he's going to have a guy that is more athletic at the position. So I definitely think Tristan Wirfs could be in play for that 10th overall pick, and I think he would be a terrific fit as well. And just rounding out the last two guys of the Big Four, and that's Andrew Thomas from Georgia, a guy that's had a bit – he's been nitpicked a little bit. There's always one guy every year that seems to be picked on a little bit more than some of the players at his position or a draft prospect in its entirety, and I think Andrew Thomas has been that guy this year. And then a guy that has just made a tremendous ascension this year throughout the pre-draft process, and Mekhi Becton, the big offensive tackle from Louisville, a guy who Daniel Jeremiah compared to Bryant McKinney. I think that's a spot-on comparison. And then just rounding out some other guys that could go in the top 40 or top 45 selections, Josh Jones from Houston is another name to keep an eye on. I think he's going to test really well at the combine, and he played really well at the Senior Bowl. He could be in play in the first round. I think that's a guy the Browns could have some interest in if they do want to trade back, if they want to collect some picks, maybe getting that 20 to 25 range or in the later teens. I think he could be in play there. Another guy that came out with an injury here recently is Prince Tagovailoa from Auburn. He's not going to participate in the combine, but he's a name I do expect to go in the second round. And then another name that I expect to go in the second, or two names, I should say, Austin Jackson from USC is another name to keep an eye on. And then that's another one that I'm definitely going to have an eye on as well. And then Lucas Niang from TCU is another name to keep an eye on as well.
Jordan Reed of the Draft Network joining us. I'm James Rapine. Jordan joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, so it sounds like there's at least a little depth there if the Browns don't go tackle with the 10th overall pick. Jordan, let me ask you this. Is there a guy or two that maybe isn't projected to go top 10 that you think after this week in the combine in Indianapolis and after the interviews and all the everything that gets filtered through here during this process that you think could potentially work his way up and the stock could jump up into the top 10?
That's a really good question. And I think some of these receivers are going to go a little bit earlier than what we're predicting. And I know the 25th pick last year was the first pick with Marquise Hollywood-Brown. That was the first selection that we saw a receiver being taken off the board. So it wouldn't surprise me if two or three of these guys actually go in the top 10. That would not surprise me at all. Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb are the obvious two candidates to go in that area. But Henry Ruggs III, a guy that's probably going to run in the 4.2 to 4.3 range during the 40-yard dash here in the coming days, I think he's a guy that could work his way into top 12. So I think any three of those guys definitely are viable candidates.
I think wide receiver for the Browns, and everyone thinks wide receiver, and they look, and obviously Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. After that, it gets extremely shallow. Obviously, Rashard Higgins, a free agent to be, who knows what happens with him. I think wide receivers in play from round two on for the Browns. Not necessarily that they will take a wide receiver in the second round, but I think day two on, certainly open to it. Who are some guys outside of the big names that you could see kind of fitting with this Browns team in Cleveland, maybe rounds three through six in that realm?
I think Michael Pittman Jr. is one name to keep an eye on. I think he's a really good fit there, has the NFL bloodlines. He struggled a little bit his first few years at USC. He battled some injuries, and then he was a little bit down on the depth chart a little bit. But his senior year, he was terrific. And if you go back and watch him in the Utah game, he had 10 catches for over 230 yards and a touchdown. He was just phenomenal in that game. A guy who plays above the rim, he goes up, and he has these levels that he's able to enter that these defensive backs that are guarding him just aren't able to get to. So he's that go-up-and-get-it type of receiver that I think will be a really good fit. Jalen Reagor from TCU, a guy that's probably going to have he's going to run in the 4-2 range. I think he's probably going to end up being in the first round mix, but some teams may be scared off by some of the drops and some of the other things that he has battled throughout his career, but I think he would be a really good fit. And then another one is Denzel Mims, the wide receiver from Baylor, a guy that I'm a big fan of. He was terrific down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl as well, and I thought he made tremendous strides as a senior, and just showing how well-diverse his route tree is. And he was labeled as mostly a speed guy coming into the process, but now he's shown during his senior year that he's much more than that.
Let's keep things rolling here as we talk draft with Jordan Reed on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jordan, I'm looking at these quarterbacks, and I think Joe Burrow probably you could safe to pen him in as first overall to the Bengals. But am I crazy to think that three quarterbacks will probably go top 10? I think Tua's still going to go top 5. Justin Herbert could certainly go that early, maybe top 10 worst case. And then another guy, Jordan Love, is there a shot he sneaks into the top 10, top 12? What do you think about this quarterback class, especially those top guys?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see four of these guys go in the top 12. And that's something that I've actually written down in my notes, and I think that's definitely possible. Everyone knows that Joe Burrow is probably going to be the top overall selection, even though there's rumors coming out recently about him and not wanting to play in Cincinnati. I just think that's just all fluff pieces to get us through April and through the pre-draft process. So I think he's going to end up being the first overall pick. And then Tua, we'll see what happens with him. We'll see what Detroit does with the third overall selection. Now, whether the Chargers or the Miami Dolphins want to trade up to that spot and take him, or if the Lions just want to simply take him and sit him as an understudy to Matt Stafford, we'll see what that's happened with that situation. But I fully expect him to be taken with that third overall pick. Now, I just don't know which team is going to be. And then rounding that out, I think Justin Herbert, a guy who has taken full advantage of the pre-draft process so far, starting out at the Senior Bowl. He didn't have to play in the Senior Bowl, but he went down there and he competed, and he won MVP of the entire event. So that just goes to show his competitive nature and his drive and how well he wants to do in this process. But I think the wild card definitely is Jordan Love, as you mentioned. And the one thing I love about Jordan Love is that he's developed so farly throughout this entire process. And what I mean by that is, of course, he didn't perform as well as he wanted to in 2019, as opposed to 2018, when he had 32 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And last year he comes back, he throws 20 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. Of course, there was a bit of a drop-off there, but there's a lot of variables that went into it. Lost his head coach, lost his top 5 target, and some other things happened there as well, to where it was a miracle that they actually made a bowl game. A lot of people are really saying that, and that just goes to show you how well he did play in spurts. But what I mean by that, he's developed during this entire process, is that got at the Senior Bowl really was a microcosm of what is expected of his NFL career. So the first day, he really did struggle with his accuracy. He just wasn't driving the ball really well. But what you saw in the second and the third day, once he got proper NFL coaching and he started to understand and develop chemistry with his surroundings, I thought he was phenomenal. And he played just as well as Justin Herbert during those past 2 days, or those last 2 days, I should say, in my opinion. And that's really a microcosm of what is expected to happen during his NFL career, just because you're not expecting him to be ready in year one. He has to go to a situation where he needs to be an understudy for a year or two. But after those first 2 years, I think you're going to have a high-level type of starter.
Jordan Reed is with us a couple more minutes here talking draft as the NFL Combine is this week right here on 92.3 The Fan. Jordan, circling back to Joe Burrow and these top quarterbacks, and obviously Jordan Love is in that mix as well. Going back to a couple years ago, obviously the Browns took Baker Mayfield overall. How does he stack up from a prospect standpoint? How did he stack up to these quarterbacks and in the Joe Burrow, who was probably going to end up in the AFC North and playing the Browns at least twice a season? How does he rank there? I know I'm throwing you off there, but is he? I didn't give you the heads up on this, but is he in line with that? Is he, from a prospect standpoint, close to a Joe Burrow, ahead of a Joe Burrow, behind him? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think Baker is right near the top, right there competing with Joe Burrow. And I think he has a stronger arm than any of those guys. That's something that really stands out about Baker. His deep field accuracy, I think that's another component that really works in his favor. But I think Joe Burrow has the better accuracy of any quarterback in this draft, in my opinion. But Baker will be right near the top. Now, as far as Baker as a prospect, I really liked him a lot just because of the development that he showed in Lincoln Riley's system, and I think that has transitioned over to his NFL career. And yes, I know he struggled last year, but there was a lot of things going on, from the head coach situation to, you know, offensive scheme not really being a fit for him. And then there's a whole bunch of variables that did happen with him. And I think him and Stefanski are going to be a match made in heaven for each other, just because just incorporating some of that play action, a lot of 12 personnel, and incorporating the tight ends over the middle a lot, which is something that Baker did a great job of when he was at Oklahoma. I think that's going to help him a lot. So as far as a prospect, though, I think he would be right up near the top competing with Joe Burrow and Tua for me.
Jordan, last thing for you, and I appreciate the time. One guy I really like, and I think he's starting to get a little bit of love. I'm seeing some stuff on him, but watching a lot of LSU this year, obviously the backs, receivers, skill players, Joe Burrow, everything like that, they got the headlines. But Patrick Queen, the linebacker, I thought he popped off the screen, was a guy that certainly could make an impact right away in the NFL. Is there any chance, what do you think of him as a prospect, and is there any chance he's available early day two and there for the Browns with that 40th pick?
It's really interesting that you brought him up, because this is one guy that I absolutely love. And I actually was talking to one of my scouting buddies yesterday about him, and I told him that I had to delete some of the notes off of my scouting report in the positive section just because it was overflowing from everything just because of that's how much I liked him, and I'm a big fan of him. He reminds me a lot of Lavonte David, the linebacker coming out of Nebraska with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now, and I'm a big fan of him. Now, he's a bit undersized, but with these linebackers nowadays, you don't have these big stocky guys running around that are these two-down thumpers. You have to have these guys that are well-diverse and are able to play on all three downs. And that's something that you get in Patrick Queen, a guy that is a terrific athlete. I think he's going to run in the 4.4s. That wouldn't surprise me at all, a sideline-to-sideline guy. But one thing that separates him from the other linebackers in this group is that how well he's able to diagnose plays. He sees things coming from a mile away. And something that a lot of people don't really know about him is that he was a former running back. That's all he played in high school. And that really has helped him transition over to the defensive side of the ball. So I'm a big fan of Patrick Queen, and I think he's probably going to end up going top 20. Oh, I don't think he's going to be there for the Browns.
Yeah, so you think his stock is going to rise. So here's the opposite then. Maybe the Browns trade back from 10 to 16, add another pick, and then they could take a tackle in that second round and get a guy like Patrick Queen and plug that linebacker role.
Yeah, I mean, that would be terrific. Now, the Raiders at 19, I think that's one team that definitely could be in play for him. So If they want to trade back and get a couple picks, and then take him in the early teens or mid-teens, I think that would definitely be completely fair for him just because I'm a big fan of him, man. I think it wouldn't surprise me if he enters the top 15 discussions. I think that's how well he's going to perform in Indy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I knew it was a long shot when I said top 4 because he's being projected late first round anyway. And you're right. He's if he has a good week in Indy, then he could rise up the boards. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Jordan, I appreciate the time. Make sure you follow Jordan on Twitter at JReedNFL and check out his work at the Draft Network. Jordan, I appreciate the time. I'll be sure to hit you up again between now and the draft, man.
No problem. Thanks so much, James, for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Yep, good stuff there from Jordan Reed. Yeah, I think Patrick Queen, he's kind of like the underrated guy, and I knew, spoiler, I knew for a fact he was going to be like, yeah, he's not going to be there at 42, dude. Of course, he's not going to be there at 42. That's wishful thinking. Now, if for some reason he falls to late round one, early round two, he's available as round two starts. If I'm the Browns, that's a guy, especially if you've taken a tackle 10th overall, I move up for. That's the aggressiveness John Dorsey had that I think Andrew Berry needs to have. I don't need 18 different players here on this roster. I need 3 or 4 quality rookies that can contribute right away and a couple developmental guys. That's what I want out of this draft. A starter or two, a couple regular contributors, and then a couple developmental guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.